You're listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com. Once Vic was up and eating, Argmon relented the controls to Tootsie and joined everyone. Everyone save Mike, in the kitchen. He cooked yet another fabulous meal. Jupnop snacked on another stick. It had lost much of its green sliminess and was looking more and more like a tree with eyes and oddly shaped mouth. June had seen many of Jupnop's transformations, but this one took the cake. Why would any being want to be a tree, even a mobile one? Vic, despite sitting up, looked as if he'd been run over by a truck. The poison, according to the man who'd sold her the antivenom, would make Vic weak and incapacitated for days, maybe even weeks. She knew Vic better than anyone else, and he wouldn't do well in this condition. She had tried to feed him, but he fought her off. He'd rather starve before being fed like an invalid.
"So where's Mike?" he asked.
"He's still in stasis in the cargo hold."
"We're going to have to move him. Once we land, we need to get this ship loaded in record time. I'm not going to be any help, aside from barking orders, so, June, I need you to be out there overseeing as much as you can. I'll be online with Tootsie, but you'll have to make sure all the actual work gets done."
"Fine." It wasn't fine, but she wasn't telling him that. She had a problem ordering her friends around, unlike Vic. It was great, however, that Vic's spirits were up to the task.
"We'll put Mike back in engineering. I'll figure out what to do with him once we're back underway. We land in about 10 minutes, so let's finish up and get prepared. Argmon, I'll land the ship. You go down to the cargo bay and help out as much as you can."
Argmon growled.
"Look, I'll be fine. I've got SPX-39 and Tootsie to keep me company."
"So I don't have to help?"
"I'd rather this went as smoothly as possible. You'll be in the cockpit with me."
Vic scratched at the bandages on his shoulder.
"Don't touch those," June scolded. "Those bites are deep, and you're going to need them looked at as soon as we're back on Planchar." "I will, I will. Why don't you guys just get Mike taken care of and prepare to load the ship while I get us landed. SPX-39, take care of cleaning this up. I don't want any stray dishes floating around."
She knew Vic would be okay. Even though his orders weren't issued with her usual aggressiveness, they were issued. He wasn't going to let a little thing like a spider bite get in the way of him making money, even if that spider bite came from one of his crew. Vic left the room, and he struggled to do so. June could feel it. He could be a tough bastard when he wanted to. Now was one of those times. Someone in the room wasn't so secure or holding up well. Joey? When she turned and looked at him, he looked at the floor, put his hands in his pockets, and left the room. What was his problem? Only 2 men left on Earth, and they were both idiots. One refused to show how he really felt, and the other's insecurity prevented him from keeping anything hidden. It was like babysitting a couple of babies. She didn't need this. Still, Joey had only been here a short time.
"Joey!"
He stopped and turned around, but didn't say anything. How should she ask him?
"Are you okay? We're about to load the ship, and I don't know how things are going to go once we land. You're not going to pass out on me again, are you?"
"No."
"Joey, look at me. I need to know that you're going to be all right."
He looked up.
"We're just loading a bunch of beer. What could go wrong?"
He shrugged.
"I've been on the ship with Vic for some time. I've seen a lot of shipments that should have been easy go awry. We're on a time limit with this one, and everyone needs to pull their weight. If anything is going to happen, I'd like to know now rather than find you laid out on the deck again."
"I'll be fine." He turned and sulked down the hallway. Something's eating him up. What's the problem? June just hoped that everything would go all right. Perhaps there would be time to still get back to Machkata and complete her deal. It still peeved her that Vic hadn't thought about the possible risks of delivering the load of Tenindrium. But she'd have to do her own sulking later. They were going to be on the ground in a few minutes. Good thing she hadn't taken her suit off. Now all she needed to do was put her helmet on and get her guns. Jupnop, Dexter, Argmon, and Joey all stood in the cargo bay, looking at Mike's body. She'd managed to forget about Mike with her concern over Vic and Joey. Men trouble couldn't have happened at a worse possible time.
Men trouble?
That was it. Why hadn't she thought of that before?
Joey's reactions were jealousy.
How cute! She smiled and knew this would be easier to deal with. Now to get Mike moved.
"Tootsie, turn off the stasis field on Mike."
Tootsie buzzed.
"Is that advisable?" Tootsie, I don't have time to argue. I'm going to have you reinitiate the field once we get him moved.
The shimmer around Mike's body faded. If Dexter didn't hit him hard enough, Mike could wake up, and they'd have something to deal with. Jupnop now had branch-like legs and no longer oozed from place to place, but still couldn't lend a hand in moving Mike. Dexter took the head, Argmon took the body, while June and Joey each took a pair of legs, and they moved Mike into the engineering room. Vic's voice came over the con. June, we landed 5.
Got it. We're almost done with Mike.
While Dexter and Joey held Mike in his seat, June fastened the seatbelt. She had to get her helmet, her guns, and should probably do something about the web. Still a lot to do and not a lot of time.
Joey, Dex, Argmon, you guys go get strapped in for a landing. I need to get my helmet and clean up that web Mike built.
Argmon barked.
Right.
Eep, eep, eep.
Jupnop clicked 2 of his branches together and pointed at Mike's funnel web.
I'm not putting Mike up in his web. I don't care if he likes to ride up there. He's too heavy.
Jupnop flattened out and clicked all of his branches together and continued to point at the funnel web.
Jupnop, I don't have time for this. We land in like 3 minutes, and I've got things to do. Now get out of the way.
She would have to figure out what Jupnop wanted later. They'd be on the ground any minute. They'd put him down. They'd put him down and left. Dexter had hit hard, but something told Mike he'd been out for hours longer than he should have been. The last time Dexter had knocked Mike out had only been a couple of minutes. And what happened? He'd just bitten Vic and hard. It should have been a killing bite, even. It was sure he never saw it coming. That's all that mattered, right? The ship's engines rumbled and the ship shook slightly. They were landing. That couldn't be possible. They'd only just left Planchar. How could they be landing? What happened? Mike wanted to get up, but if they were landing, there was no chance of that. Tootsie must have used a stasis field. Mike had hoped putting fear into their hearts would have them frozen in panic. That obviously didn't work. The ship stopped shaking. June, we'll be down any minute. We need to get this loaded as quickly as possible.
Vic? Alive? That's not possible. Even if the poison didn't kill him, that bite should have. No one survives a bite from Mike.
I bit Vic.
No, that's not the plan. What did I do? They think I tried to kill Vic.
Mike unstrapped his belt and scurried up into his web. The box was there. He needed to call the boss. He needed instructions on how to proceed now that everything had gone wrong. The boss would know how to fix this. Yes, he would. He'd know. All Mike had to do was speak with him. A rumble from inside the ship, and Mike knew that the landing gear was down. They were nearly on the ground. He had to act fast. They would catch him. They'd find him and take away the box. They would. He couldn't have that. No, he couldn't. Mike took the box and leapt from the web. He poked his head out of the cargo bay. June, now that the ship had landed, stood near the exit ramp and was shooting back into the cargo bay.
What are you doing?
She was shooting out his webbing. Mike's fabulous web disintegrated with each pull of the trigger.
I'll kill you first. Yes, I will.
No, no, he couldn't kill any of them until the boss told him it was time.
I want to kill you, but you'll have to wait. You're going to taste so good, Mike said under his breath.
Once June, Joey, Dexter, and Argmon left the ship, Mike left the engineering room. Vic's voice sounded weak. Now he could strike, unabated. He could kill Vic this time.
No, he wasn't supposed to kill Vic yet. No, he was supposed to hide. He needed to hide. He'd bitten Vic, and they tried to kill him. That wasn't in the plan. The boss would be quite upset. Couldn't have that.
Mike scampered across the floor. He had to act fast. He had to hide. But where? Tootsie's sensors could find him anywhere on the ship. All they'd have to do is think to ask. He had to be where they couldn't find him.
Mike, where are you going?
SPX-39!
No time to think, only time to react. Mike set the box down gently and approached the robot.
Mike, what are you doing?
Mike lunged. It took only a fraction of a second to tear the robot's limbs off and rip its head from its torso, then shred the torso into 1,000 parts. The robot's death felt good, but it didn't satisfy as good as killing Vic would have. No, he needed to kill Vic. That's what he needed. The killing of SPX-39 had involuntarily dropped his fangs. He'd already distributed a massive amount of venom into Vic. He'd have to save the rest. When the time was right. That's all he needed to wait for. The right time. The boss wanted this to be a public humiliation and death. Timing was everything. Mike raced across the floor and snatched up the box and spun 3 times looking for a hiding place.
Where? Where? There's got to be somewhere to hide. Where?
A large tarp far in the corner covered a bulky shape. Mike rushed to it. He had to get hidden. This had to be where he could hide.
He couldn't let them find him. They were going to kill him. He knew they were going to. He couldn't be killed. Not yet. The boss's plan. He had to get hidden. Under the tarp he spied a small black cruiser, a small ship that could hold 2 passengers, and perhaps a little bit of cargo, but not much. It was perfect. A stealth cruiser. Tootsie's scanners would never penetrate inside. Mike stowed himself in the box into the small cargo compartment in the rear of the ship. He could let himself out at any time. Once they tried to find him and discovered he was no longer on the ship, he could get out. A perfect plan. The boss didn't need to know about the mishap. He didn't need to know at all. Perhaps the boss would be pleased that Vic had suffered before he was killed. The reward could be substantial. Maybe he could retire. He could take the money he'd earned with Vic and the payment from the boss and find a nice planet to retire on. A planet filled with little beings that didn't mind being killed en masse.
What do you mean no one's here? I signaled for and got landing codes.
I can only tell you what's going on. No one is here and all the doors are locked. What don't you get about that?
But I called ahead. The warehouse should be open if they gave me landing codes.
Tootsie chimed in. Vic, the landing codes we were given were automated. This is a planetary holiday. No one is working anywhere on the planet right now.
June's voice bit as hard as Mike's fangs had.
Vic, you didn't even bother to check?
And her voice cut off. He'd screwed up again. He'd wagered their pay from the Tenindrian job on this, and he'd lost. He'd just lost. On top of that, a police cruiser waited for them back on Munchkata. He wanted to call them all back onto the ship, but there still had to be an angle he wasn't seeing, something he was overlooking. This couldn't be the end. It couldn't end like this. Why is everything falling apart? Why now? It felt as if someone was orchestrating his downfall. But downfall from what? He'd managed to get a decent business going, and he'd helped people in need. Sure, he made a buck or two from it, and he'd been banned from several systems and was wanted on several others, but what did that matter? He had 1,000 systems to travel to, and each different from the last. Who'd want to live this kind of life? A pang ripped at Vic's heart. He suddenly missed his father. For the first time since he'd arrived, searching for his father, he wished he could ask his old man's advice. Why, now at this point of his biggest failure, did he suddenly need him? Why, of all things, did he need something from a man who couldn't give it to him? A tear slipped down Vic's cheek. He sniffed and rubbed his nose.
Vic?
June's voice wasn't as rough as it had been.
Vic, are you crying?
He took a deep breath. Blast the doors. He wasn't going down without a fight.
What?
I said, blast the doors, June.
No, I'm not getting us banned from another system.
Argmon, Dexter, blast the doors. They're closed, but we know they've got what we need in there. If they can't load the ship, we'll load it ourselves.
Vic, this is stupid. I'm not going to blast...
June was cut off by an explosion. Argmon and Dexter had blasted the doors open. Vic smiled as he hit the switch to open the cargo bay doors. Good job. We need to find the crane and get loaded. And now. We don't have time to waste on discussion or argument. Let's just get going. Vic switched off his comm unit. A sudden wave of pain and nausea overtook his body. The last thing he needed them to hear was him getting sick. He tried to get up from his seat, but his body lacked the strength to perform something so simple.
Why, Mike? Why you? What did you need, Vic?
Tootsie asked.
Nothing.
A loud clang echoed from the cargo bay, and the ship shifted slightly. They'd found the crane, and they were loading the ship. What a boon. They could be underway in a few minutes.
Tootsie, how's Mike doing?
Even if Mike had tried to kill him, Vic still cared about him. Mike must have had a mental lapse or something. It happened to people all the time in space. Perhaps the stress had just gotten to him.
Scanning.
Scanning?
I'm attempting to locate Mike so I can give you a status on his well-being.
He's in the engineering room. June told me they put him in there.
Negative.
SPX-39.
The robot can go and find Mike. There was no response.
No.
Damn, you really should mind your mouth, Vic.
Shut up, Tootsie. Where's Mike and where's SPX-39?
Last location for each was on the cargo bay.
Did they get crushed?
Another loud clang and the ship shifted again. Don't let them be dead.
SPX-39 did not register as being on the ship.
Well, where do they register?
I'm not detecting either one of them on the ship or with the rest of the crew.
Well, isn't that just great? Vic switched his comm unit back on. June, you may have company out there. Keep an eye out for Mike and SPX-39.
What do you mean?
I mean Tootsie can't find them on the ship.
After a long pause, June said,
I think I forgot to tell Tootsie to put the stasis field back on him.
Don't worry about it. Let's just get this loaded and get out of here. If Mike isn't on the ship, good riddance to the Rat Fink.
Vic rubbed his temples. Could anything else happen to make this worse? Anything at all?
SS Acid Rat, you are ordered to stay on the ground. You are not to leave the planet Rado.
And who the hell are you?
This is the police cruiser Apprehension. You and your crew are under arrest. You are in violation of...
Vic switched off the main con unit. Guys, we've got company. Tell me we're loaded. Argmon growled. Well, get that one on board and let's get going. The cops are here.
What?
June screamed so loud it hurt Vic's ears. Are you having trouble hearing today? Get your ass back on the ship. We're leaving. A final clang from the back of the ship and the cargo bay doors were closed. It couldn't have happened soon enough. Vic watched the light from the exit ramp. Come on, come on, let's go. He couldn't leave until they were back on board, but they had to hurry.
Vic, the police cruiser will be in tractor beam range in 1 minute.
Hurry up! The light for the exit ramp went out, and June said in between puffs and pants,
We're on! Go!
They'd left the engines charged so Vic could lift off and left in the opposite direction of the police cruiser. Vic was always ready for a fight, but this had gone from ridiculous to insane. If they wanted him, they were going to have to catch him.
They took off?
BT Justice snatched the comm mic from the officer.
SS Acid Rat, this is Sheriff BT Justice. I order you to land that ship this instant. Do you hear me?
They obviously didn't hear, or didn't care.
Are they receiving us?
No, sir.
Well, maybe you use your head and force their comm unit on.
Justice slapped the man in the arm with his riding crop. Twice.
Yes, sir,
the officer said, trying to dodge another blow.
There you are, sir. They can hear you now.
SS Acid Rat, this is Sheriff BT Justice. I order you to land and land now. You cannot escape this time.
Yes, I can.
So you're a smartass, are you? Let's see how you fare with a missile in the side of your ship.
The officer who had handed Justice the mic whitened.
Sir, we can't shoot them down. Not when they're off our home planet.
Justice smacked the officer.
I'm bluffing, you idiot.
Daddy, sir?
Junior pointed to the mic. Justice had been holding the button the entire time. The crew of the SS Acid Rat heard everything.
Damn!
The sheriff threw the mic across the bridge.
Get that ship! I don't care what it takes. Get that ship!
Yes, sir!
Junior!
I'm going, Daddy!
And stop calling me Daddy, you idiot! I swear you take after your mother. If I were lying, I would have killed you at birth. Come here!
Junior walked back with his tail between his legs, eyeing the rotting crop nervously.
Junior, I need you to contact the local authorities. Let them know there's been a break-in and we are in pursuit.
But won't they wonder why we're here?
Don't question me. Report it anonymously.
Junior ran off. Sheriff Justice's eyes narrowed to small slits as the SS Acid Rat's silver skin faded from view in the disappearing atmosphere. All they could do was chase now. But this time, he wouldn't let up until the tractor beam was engaged and he was hauling the criminals back home to stand trial. Oh no. They weren't getting away this time. Vic's reactions were slowed. The ship moved fast enough, but the massive police cruiser gained. Argmon, I need you up here. As the words issued from Vic's mouth, a local police cruiser popped up in front of the ship. If he could have, he would have dodged it. But as fast as he was going, and his body not working as well as it could have, he only veered slightly and sent the small cruiser spinning out of control. Argmon! The locals are coming. Where are you? Argmon chuffed and took his seat. Vic released the controls and let Argmon take over. Mike! Vic shouted and cursed at himself. Mike wasn't there. June, I need you to get to the engineering room and prep the engines. We're going to need to make a jump. I think they're charged, but double check.
I'm on it.
Though she sounded tense, Vic felt assured that she would get it done. A shudder of pain racked his body. Argmon growled low and deep. I'm fine. Just watch where you're going. Vic pointed at another local cruiser. A blast rocked the ship. Argmon spun the ship and started to shoot skyward. No, that police cruiser's waiting for us up there. We've got to get to the dark side of the planet, and we need to stay as low as possible for as long as possible. If that sheriff wants us, he's going to have to come and get us. Let's not make this easy. Argmon barked agreement. Vic had gotten them into a tight spot. The sheriff apparently had alerted the locals, or they'd not be in on the chase. Sensors indicated 20. No. 21 in pursuit.
The apprehension flew a good 10 miles up, out of tractor beam range, but too close to get away from. They didn't drop, but stayed just above the acid rat.
Think, think, think.
There had to be a way out. Vic had been in tight spots before. He'd always gotten them out. Always. And they always got paid, too. Both of those were now in jeopardy.
The little cruiser!
Argmon looked at Vic, confused.
The little black cruiser I picked up like a year ago. That's it. I still haven't driven it, but it's what we need.
Vic got up and left the cockpit. June, Joey, meet me in the cargo bay. June's voice came over the con.
Vic, the engines are charged and ready to go.
Thanks, June. I've got a plan, but I need you and Joey.
What's up?
I'll explain down in the cargo bay.
Vic's body didn't move as fast as he would have liked. He'd only ever been incapacitated once before, and there hadn't been any police on his tail or a job on the line. 4 massive containers filled the majority of the cargo bay. The SS Acid Rat was filled to capacity. He'd have a tough time getting anything else inside the ship. Good thing Argmon knew how to operate the crane as well as fly a ship. At the bottom of the ladder, June and Joey waited. June's expression hardened when she saw Vic. Great. She was still mad at him. He didn't have time for this. He'd have to deal with her later.
Follow me, Vic said, and led June and Joey over to the cruiser.
He'd cover it with a tarp to protect it and keep it in pristine condition. He pulled the tarp off the cruiser. Its surface, a beautiful glossy black, reflected the three of them. The ship itself reminded Vic of a 69 Corvette Stingray his father had owned. The cruiser had no wheels, instead sitting on tripod landing gear. Instead of an open top, the constrained cockpit sat encased in a large bubble. The entire interior consisted of black-on-black seating, upholstery, and trimming. The consoles were also black until activated. God, he loved black.
SBX-39!
He's over there, June said with a shrug.
Strewn up behind the cruiser was SBX-39. He'd been torn to pieces. Even his body had been split in two, and exposed wires and gears lay everywhere. A small pool of oil puddled under his chassis.
That's sad. I didn't like that robot much, but he didn't deserve that.
Where's Mike? He wasn't in the engineering room.
Tootsie said that he's not on the ship. Speaking of which, Vic turned around. Dexter, bring me Tootsie.
Eep, eep, eep.
What are you thinking of doing?
Joey asked. Vic opened the cruiser and stuck his head inside. A small compartment lay between the bucket seats. He opened it and pulled out a large square black box. He showed it to June and Joey.
Spaceships, even the local police cruisers, don't use visuals, they use sensors. Those sensors translate the ship's transponder. I'm taking this one, and we'll put Tootsie into the cruiser.
What?
Hey, kid, look at this ship. I never named it. Give it a name. Come on. Anything.
Joey shrugged. I don't know.
Sure you do, kid.
Joey smiled an ear-to-ear grin. Only a kid could smile.
How about the Iron Butterfly? That's what brought me here, if you take my meaning.
Vic raised his eyebrows. Good pull, kid. I like it. You and June are going to take the Iron Butterfly.
June held up her hands.
Wait, Joey doesn't know how to fly this thing, and I've never been in it before. What are we supposed to do? Just sit in and get caught and wait for you to come back and save us?
Dexter arrived, carrying a silver box the same size as the one Vic held. Here, Dex, put this into the acid rat.
Thanks.
Eep, eep, eep.
Vic put the box into the Iron Butterfly, closed the compartment, and looked at June and Joey again.
Look, this ship is easy to fly, and it's fast. It'll easily outrun these local police cruisers and get you back to the checkpoint and back to Planchar. Probably even before the acid rat gets there. The police cruiser isn't going to go through the checkpoint. They're not supposed to be following us unless they got permission from GCP Central Office, and I doubt they got that over a little Tanindrium shipment being transported by unregistered Tanindrium transporters. So you guys will be safe. It's also stealth, so the only thing they'll see is the transponder signal. If they start to gain on you, just turn it off and you'll be invisible.
But what about you?
June, look, I'll be fine. Argmon, a blast rocked the ship. Look, just get in and fly. We'll meet up again on Planchar.
June pouted. At least she didn't look angry anymore. Anything was better than June being angry.
I don't like it.
You don't have to. Joey got into the Iron Butterfly.
I like it.
See? The kid likes it. Come on, June. We don't have time to argue about this one. I need you to trust me.
I've been trusting you. Look where we are now.
Vic sighed. Just one more time, June. I can get us out of this one. This will be the last one. I promise.
You've said that before.
June got into the cruiser. Keep in contact.
I will. We're going to need to keep track of the sheriff. He's a bastard and he's gunning for us.
June buckled herself in. Joey followed suit. She looked up at Vic.
I still don't like this. but you're going to do it because you know it'll save our skin. Look, once you two are out, I'm going to open the cargo bay doors. I'll have Argmon shuffle back and forth. You do the same and circle the ship a couple of times, and we'll both head off in different directions.
The cruiser will get confused and take after the supposed biggest target. Got it!
Right. Now get prepped. I'm going back to the cockpit. And June? June looked up. Her eyes never looked so lovely. Vic hated the fact that they were starting to fill with tears. Thanks, June. She frowned slightly and pressed the button to close the protective bubble.
You've been listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information about this podcast and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com. V&A Shipping is released under a Creative Commons, Attributions Only, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives Works 3.0. Feedback can be sent to jrmurdoch@ofgnomesanddwarves.com, or you can find me at Twitter or Facebook as J.R. Murdoch. There's a lot of podcast fiction out there. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this one.